Hello, welcome back. It's May 6th, 2020. There's been about a year hiatus since the last show, although if you're listening to these sequentially, you might not know that. But anyway, we're jumping back in after a long delay. Today I'm going to answer four questions to kind of start getting through our backlog. Feel free to send in new questions now, and I should be getting to them fairly rapidly here. Reminder that if you're listening to the audio of this show here, that this is the audio stripped from the YouTube video. And I film it podcast friendly, by the way. But you should be using the code podcast rather than the code ask Weldon when I recommend a code to go to mindgames.gg/MAC or mindgames.gg for the Mac program. If you want to purchase that, use the code podcast to signify that you come from here and not from YouTube. Gets you an additional discount. If you want to hear the story of the hiatus and what I've been up to for the last year, I think the best place for that is probably a live stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. I probably won't do a long-form audio for that. But welcome back to the show, and hope you enjoy. Let's jump in. Hello, and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show, episode 262. Today, we are going to talk about talent versus hard work, again. Two scrims and two roles, are breaks strictly neurologically necessary. Oh, and how to do two scrims per day with different teams. Today I'm going to hit four questions as part of like a comeback episode. I know it's been a while, and I know that you guys are probably anxious to have the podcast back, so why don't we just jump into the first question. And this one is from Oscar.
Hi, Weldon. I have a question for you that might be pretty hard to answer, but I still really wanted to hear your opinion about it, so here it is. What is your opinion about talent versus hard work? I don't mean talent in a way where some people have an easier time doing certain things than others, because I already know that that's the case, but more like if a person can choose whatever path they want in life, and if they are willing to work with the struggles that come along with that, they can achieve their goals. Or do you believe that, let's say, a successful career path is a person that combines his or her talent for it and combining it with hard work? So more that the talent part is a essential part for a successful career path. I also wanted to say thank you for helping me with other questions about the eSports school. And I really wanted to thank you for the Mac program you made.
All right, so this is a good question, and I think to answer it, we have to get into a little bit of the nuance defining the word talent. So I think that there's the nature versus nurture argument, and that is like, is there a genetic component to, you know, a certain success at being a anchorman or being a mid-level manager in a newspaper versus a mid-level manager in a stock, in a financial hedge fund, right? There's a lot of things that people are applying talent to in the modern era. And the short answer to that is not really. There's a definite, really strong genetic component to things like height. It gets down a little bit when you get to running and walking, and then it gets down a little bit more when you get to things that we weren't necessarily evolved to do through natural selection in the wild, such as swimming or problem solving during a surgery. And for those things, there is a component of nature and nurture that meshes together when you're being raised. So probably coming out of the womb, you're not set up to be a better doctor than somebody else, because even IQ is not shown to be differential necessarily depending on which doctor, kind of doctor you are, and of course which medical system you come up through. These studies have been done in different medical education systems. But if you're talking about, are you a 22-year-old choosing a career and looking at what you're good at and what you're bad at, then for sure you can use the word talent to talk about the skills that you have been equipped with by your parents and by the environment that raised you. And while it might be possible to, over the course of a decade, rewrite and, with your neuroplasticity, rewire some of your talents and skills, generally speaking, you're past the point where you've selected for a lot of your neurons. And so it's better to just take the, what is it, sunk cost of like what you're already good at and kind of like lean into that. And that may come as a factor of motivation, like you're just really excited about a certain field or a certain something, and that allows you to work harder at it. So if you're using the term talent to refer to something like that, then yes, you can save a lot of time by doing things that you're motivated to do. Now, I think it's much more important to look at your motivation than your talent. It's been shown again and again at the top level of fields that people who have had to work for things versus just getting them easily often end up at a higher level of performance. And that means that, generally speaking, your starting out talent should be lower than maybe your peers and force you to go for the grind and like surpass them as a method of laying down a lot of those fundamental skills. So I was just on a part of a audience that was listening to a former New York Knicks basketball player, Jonathan Starks, who was talking about how the fact that he had to go the long path and really put in the work and get discovered and didn't have anything come easy led to his astronomical career. So I think that there's definitely something to be said for that in the nuance of careers that we have nowadays with the complexity of the things that you have to do in them that are not necessarily related to like a basic thing like lifting something heavy or being able to reach a certain height or being able to run at a certain speed. A lot of it comes down to what you're interested in and how equipped your parents made you or your school system made you for handling the problem solving that you're going to have to do. So that is my answer to that question in terms of choosing a career. Go for what you can work on the most when you encounter setbacks, because talent will just get you kind of in the door. And then here's a good analogy for it. Child prodigies. Everybody puts a lot of like news cycle interest in a kid who can do calculus who's 5 years old. But if you compare that person to a mathematician who has a PhD in calculus, he's really dumb compared to the person who's doing real calculus and like problem solving, right? But we don't compare that 5-year-old to the 30-year-old PhD in mathematics who's doing like quantum level stuff, you know? Because we'd be like, oh, that's not fair because he's only 5. But it's the same with languages. We say like, wow, kids pick up languages so fast, but actually an adult who's super motivated will pick up a language much faster than a kid. A kid takes anywhere from 6 to 8 years to acquire language like fully fluently. And as an adult, you could get that down to something like 18 months if you really, 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 really crunch and work on it like 8 to 10 hours a day. You have a lot more processing power than a 3-year-old. But we say that things that are like essentially that come easy to us are things that we have a talent
for. Auto shutdown initiated.
And I would rather you think about it in terms of what you are motivated towards to put in the grind carries you a lot farther than that initial prodiginess will get you for that first acquisition of a few weeks or a few months of information. So if you're better than the average population at something, and I wouldn't count that necessarily as a talent, although it, like, yeah, you could say I'm talented at this because you don't do anything and you're automatically better than other people. But I would prefer that you focus on something that you have a talent for never giving up at because you're just so interested in it and you happen to be decently good at it, you know, or at least average or not sucky. Let's put it that way. So yeah. And that's excluding things that are in the high performance sphere. If you want to go for the high performance, like not like a job, right. In an office, but something that's like, where you are competing to be a top 0.000% of some, population, then that is where you have to have both, no matter what. Or you're just going to do a lot of hard work and never get there. All right, let's go on to the second question. Oh, before that, announcements. So, hi. Back after a long hiatus. Have an off-season, and I'm at home with, not with coronavirus, but I'm at home because of coronavirus. And so here's the podcast for you. Okay, that was it for announcements. Great. Let's go on to question number 2 from Moto.
Auto shutdown canceled.
Hey, Alden. So there's 2 LANs coming up in my region. I really wanted to play in both of them. So I joined 2 teams. And now I found myself in this situation where I have to scrim every single day from 7 p.m. with the first team. And then the other team starts scrimming at 12 p.m. and 12 a.m. And now I feel like I'm screaming way too much. And so that's basically my question. If you have any advice, if someone's playing with two teams, not one, and they're trying to scrim the same day.
All right. So the real answer is, what is your level of tolerance for burnout? So if you're getting the right amount of sleep and you're accomplishing the other tasks that you need to accomplish during a day, such as your work, your homework, your family obligations, your health and physical maintenance, and if it's just tiredness or wanting to watch Netflix, then I would say definitely do the scrims and see how much you can push it. If it's interfering with other stuff, then it's better to... actually, I would say diversity is wonderful. So I would say see if you can cut back on scrimmages with both teams so that you're scrimming less, but you're scrimming with both of them, if that makes sense. So you're doing both different teams and you're getting that diversity of training and challenging environments, but you're doing less of both of them so that it's more manageable. And if you have to cut it down to one, then that's what you have to do. I would say as long as you're meeting your other obligations for your body and your life, then it's definitely good to spend the free time that you have towards training rather than recovery, just to see how you can how well you can do. And segueing with that is your second question, so I'll jump right into that one.
Hey again. So I already sent you the question regarding the whole two upcoming LANs and scrimming every day for both teams, but I actually forgot to mention the most important thing, and the reason why I'm asking you this is that for these two teams, I'm going to be playing two different roles. So I'm going to be playing carry role and the mid role. And I'm mainly a carry player, but I did train a bit in mid for another team. That didn't go so well. But that's what I wanted to ask you. If you wanted to train for two different roles in the same time, in the same day, how should you do it? And if it's even possible to be successful at it?
So I don't know if it's possible for you to be successful at it. I can't really answer that, but I can say that it will be better for you to do that than to train one role, because you will get much better at the game in general, and the things you learn in the second role will help your ultimately core role to improve faster than if you were specializing. And I think that is dependent on how much extra time you have outside of your scrimmages to put into both of those roles. Like if you don't hit the bare minimum threshold of training amount per day in your specialized role, then you're really going to inhibit it. But at some point of training, your improvement is like asymptotic, right? It just like kind of falls off because you put in as much time as you're going to get for that initial burst of learning. And then you're just kind of like either really focused and learning good habits, or you're slightly unfocused and you're just learning bad habits, and your training can actually bring you down. That's when it's really great to jump to a new role and learn things there that you can then apply to your other role without messing up your habits and learning bad behaviors. So without like looking individually at your case, I can't say whether or not you're hitting that point every day. But one way that you can think about it is just you have to be very disciplined. You have to like keep a training journal, I would say, for both roles so that you can, there's no warm-up that you are allowed when you're doing something like this. You need to jump in with the first game and be mentally and physically and knowledge-based ready. So I want you to have like some sort of spreadsheet on your computer where you're writing down the matchups that you want to be playing and that you're writing down the notes, because you're going to get far fewer rehearsals of these matchups than a standard specialist. And so you're going to need to, as you're logging into the game, quickly look at your notes on that matchup and be like, okay, this is what I did last time, and this is what I learned, and this is what I want to do this time, rather than getting into it and going through it and be like, oh yeah, I forgot about this, and then you lose that entire levels 1 through 6 rehearsal of the matchup that you wanted to do. Now if you're spamming hundreds of games of this one champion, then that's an irrelevant task. But if you're doing what you're doing, which is trying to specialize in two different roles at the same time, then this is literally the difference maker between getting high quality rehearsals and low quality rehearsals that are just reiterations of things that you've already learned and forgotten until you just ran into them again in your current game. All right, I'm going to jump in before question number 4 and say that the MAC program is still out there and still active. It's at mindgames.gg/MAC. And as always, if you're listening to this on YouTube, you can use the code AskWeldon to get a discount and show that you came from the YouTube audience. And I'm happy to say that it's getting very close to an MVP of the app form. So I expect within the month of May that we will have people who have purchased the course into a test version of the course in the next 4 weeks. And that eventually then we'll be launching it for open, that it will replace the video training course essentially on the internet. So yeah, we're getting there, guys. And I'll be happy to share all the details about that in a dedicated video about the Mac program. And also, if you want details about how the last year has gone and the coronavirus in general, what's happening here in this podcast and the hiatus and everything, I think a format for that would be Twitch. If I ever do a stream, like a just chatting stream, playing some games, then you can follow me at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon, and you'll get a notification when I do eventually go live there if I ever have good enough internet to go live. And what I'm drinking today on this call is Reed's Craft Ginger Beer, all natural, zero sugar, because that just came out at Trader Joe's. I just saw it there. And 100% more ginger than the original. It's also non-alcoholic, but trying not to be compromised for this show. All right, let's jump into the final question.
Dear Weldon, on days where I have a busy schedule, I often find myself taking breaks in between them. For example, when there's a lot to do, I tend to make a list in my mind and execute upon it. Say, first I eat breakfast, then I have to go grocery shopping, afterwards I go for a run, and then I have to write homework or study or something, so I can finally play a set of solo queue games in the evening, and then I have to cook again. However, I often find myself having to take mental breaks in between those steps because I sort of feel exhausted, and these last for half an hour to an hour. So I want to know if this is just me procrastinating or not, and if so, what can I do against it? And if it's just a legit thing to do, like having to take breaks, how can I shorten the amount of time, or how can I take breaks more efficiently? Thank you very much.
So breaks are neurologically necessary, we think. But I don't think that it's really well known what the mechanism is for that. There's so many components that are active. I mean, we just learned in the last 3 years the importance of glial cells in terms of communicating information within the brain. That's not even electronic, it's just chemical. How it is that they govern neurons by pulling them into cycles and excluding them from certain cycles based on how they grow. And so I would say that we are not that close to understanding at a very specific level in the human brain when and how and why the dosage of breaks are necessary, that are necessary, and how that works. But I would say that it's pretty obvious that naps are a key component to learning and high performance in some sports. And it's really obvious from general studies. And when I say general, I mean not at the cellular level, but at the just human activity level, that breaks are beneficial for focus and concentration and wellness. So the answer is yes, they're useful. But your dosage of breaks and how much you need them is dependent a little bit on your situation, probably the level of ambient stress you have in your life. So if you can reduce stress elsewhere, then you can recapture some of that break time for effective stuff. And then also, of course, your level of just general ability to focus when you have low focus, if that makes sense. So independent of your level of mental energy, how well and can you focus on the task at hand, just using your willpower. If that is high, and that's a trainable skill, by the way, if that is high, then you don't necessarily need a break, although it might be beneficial for you to have do an activity that is essentially free because the focus comes automatically versus costs you energy because you have to focus super, super hard and expend willpower to do that. So you can train that. That's something I train in my mindfulness-based resilience course, the MAC program. And it's something that you can also train kind of just by tolerating stuff more. The more that you're able to tolerate. Simple example from my life, I had a certain level of tolerance toward just getting stuff done in the amount of time that I had in the day. And then I had kids and I had less time in the day. And all of a sudden I was much more effective at getting stuff done just because I had less time and I had more motivation. So it could be as simple as you deciding that, as you getting like an extra part-time job and then still accomplishing the same amount of stuff you are doing otherwise, even though you're now working a part-time job because you're more effective with the fewer hours that you have remaining. And if you can limit yourself like that artificially without actually going out and getting another part-time job, then kudos to you. All right. So that's the show for today. And thank you for tuning in. I will hopefully see you guys tomorrow again. And make sure to send in new questions. We have about 5 to 10 in the bank, but we're going to need more pretty rapidly here. And you can go to anchor.fm/WeldonGreen. And then there's a message button or a submission button there that you can use to submit your questions audio so that you can hear them on air like this. That's, again, anchor.fm/WeldonGreen. That's where you'll find the podcast and all the links to iTunes, whatever Android uses for their podcasts, and Google, a way to send in your questions. All right. See you guys later.